This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Guardian, London, reporting on New York City air quality. Smoke from wildfires in the West caused hazy skies as air quality index surged to 157 in Manhattan, well above the threshold. State officials in New York advised vulnerable people, such as those with asthma, heart disease, to avoid strenuous outdoor activity as air pollution soared to eclipse Lima in Peru and Kolkata in India, to be ranked as the worst in the world. I go immediately to Siberia. Sakha, Russia's largest and coldest region, now reporting massive wildfires. To say this is out of control is to be diplomatic. These are the worst ever, according to Siberian residents. This is an area that is covered by what is called the taiga, the boreal forest, on fire and polluting everything in all directions, including blowing to the east. So I go east of Siberia to the Pacific coast, to Pacific Watch with Jeff Bliss. Jeff, over these last days, the reporting has been not only Northern California wildfires, which you very carefully explicated, but a very large forest fire in Oregon. What can you tell us about its status? And I believe New York City and points west of New York City are saying this is the source of the air pollution. Good day to you, Jeff.
Hello, John. The Bootleg Fire in Oregon, which is in pretty much in the southern, somewhat eastern part of Oregon there, is a massive fire that still is raging out of control. They only have it about 33% contained. Containment and control are two different things. Containment is just getting lines around it, firefighters around it, but only a third of it or so has firefighters around it. It's already burned more than 400,000 acres. This will easily burn out, you know, more than 500,000 acres. It could go much, much longer, much farther. Matter of fact, some people think that this fire, if it continues to go as it is, and if the weather is projected to be as it is for the next few months, this fire could burn on through November, and that would be when they put it out. So that's quite a fire, and if it burned that long, then we're probably talking a fire that burns in excess of 1 million acres. It's already heading into the upper stratosphere, so to speak, of fires that have been in the U.S. Among the worst in terms of acres burned. Again, this one is already 400,000 acres. It'll easily pass 500,000 acres, and if it burns out past, you know, for several months, then you're talking easily over 1 million acres. That's a huge amount of land.
Siberia is reporting that their wildfire in Sakha District is due to drought, record-breaking drought, high temperatures, abnormally high temperatures, and the lightning strikes that light up the forest. I believe those are the same drivers in Oregon. Is that correct, Jeff?
That is correct. As a matter of fact, those tend to be the same drivers for most of the fires throughout the West. And when we're talking about fires throughout the West, you have, you know, 13 Western states that have 80 large active wildfires right now. It's burned over 1.5 million acres in total. And if you go up into Canada, where they've just been having a heck of a time, that's very much akin to the geography and the climate in Siberia, then you're talking about, you know, several hundred fires up there, including 86 that are burning out of control. So the whole western part of North America right now is experiencing this problem, and it's only going to get worse as the summer progresses.
Back to Siberia. Sakha Governor Asen Nikolaev attributed the wildfires to climate change. This is the Moscow Times reporting. He said, "We're living through the hottest, driest summer in the history of meteorological measurements. Residents in Sakha have told The Guardian they are both depressed and angry." That's a quote. In addition, we have a volunteer firefighter and gym owner commenting, "The fires have touched absolutely every single person's life in Yakutia." And since the smoke has gotten to Yakutsk, the large city in Siberia, people are very vocal on social networks because every person's life has been affected. I can presume, Jeff, that this is the same testimony we'd have from the United States. It's a very small planet. Do you recall last summer? Of course you did. You reported on it. The fires of Northern California changed the sky over the Bay Area. And I recall there were air pollution warnings, if I'm thinking correctly. Is that same warning going out for residents of Northern California because of the Oregon fire?
Not for the Bay Area, because the weather systems are different right now than they were then. So you don't have the smoke kind of curling back and sitting in the basin that is that San Francisco Bay Area. But certainly in the adjacent areas from the big fires, you have the air warnings going out, the air quality warning. So I've seen photos from Oregon, from the Beckwith fire, and from the other fire up in Oregon. And the skies during the day are absolutely orange and red. It looks like something out of a science fiction movie, something dystopian. And when it gets that bad, then you not only have to have a mask, but they ask you to remain indoors with everything sealed because the pollution level is so great that it really, you do risk health problems, even if you're among the healthiest, not the vulnerable people. Those folks already are being asked to leave or to make sure they're in a sealed building. But if you're, even if you're a healthy person, you're being asked to safeguard your health with masks and staying inside.
Do I recall correctly that there was a fire in Los Angeles where you live now, Jeff, that also threw up pollution conditions?
We were last time. Yes, we had fires that were so bad. You had ash falling. It was almost like being around a volcano. There was, the ash was so heavy. And that, you know, that smoke just, it got in everywhere. Even if you had your home sealed up, you smelled it. You were choking on it. A lot of people left the area because they just couldn't take it. But what was strange is you'd still have that residual smell, that smoke damage, really, for months afterwards.
The drought, it's in Siberia, it's in Canada, it's in Western United States, driving water levels at reservoirs to all-time lows, or at least comparable to lows. The drought is also in the plains of Siberia. We also have reports of the wheat crop coming in poor, the sugarcane crop in Cuba coming in poor. That's affecting the disorder there because sugarcane is a major source of hard currency to come into Cuba. We have a worldwide drought in the North Temperate Zone. All eyes are looking to climate change, Jeff, but no climate change plans, the best possible, can arrive soon enough to stop this burning. So I guess what we can hope for is a timeline. Does anybody have a timeline for the west of the U.S. burning out the forest that's now on fire?
They really don't. And it seems that every day there's a new projection, and it fluctuates. It changes every day. So actually, to answer your question, yeah, there are timelines, but they seem to vary with whomever you speak with and wherever they are. But we do think this severe drought or severe fire situation is going to last well into the fall, probably maybe even as far as December. This could be a very tough year for the entire Western U.S. and Canada.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. The fires of Siberia, the fires of Oregon, the northwest of the U.S., the drought worldwide. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Battle.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.